none of you people can tell me to stop. Lower the lights down, hand over my crown, hand over my heart. I do this for my town, I do this for my crowd. So turn me up real loud. My time, my time, none of you people can tell me to stop. Turning the track up, I'll never go back down. Hand over my heart, I do this for my town, I do this for my crowd. So turn me up real loud. My time, my time, none of you people can tell me to stop.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for listening to Next Gen Radio. This is a talk show where we bring you the fun facts about fitness, health, diet, and exercise. This is episode number 86, and I am your host, Mike Ercolano. I am here with Kelly Krause, my co-host.
Hello. Ooh,
I got really loud right there. And our co-host for today, Deb Van Dusen.
Yay!
Hi, how
welcome,
are you?
Welcome, Deb.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Or to some of our members know her as Coach Deb,
yeah.
Right? Because you coach here at Next Gen a couple days a week, right? Part-time. You're also employed in school system, right? You're a teacher as well.
Yep.
So,
She's very busy.
Very busy, yeah. Very busy. But you start off, much like Kelly, you start off as a member of Next Gen.
Yep.
And then, you know, you had still have a passion for fitness and helping others, and you do your own thing outside of here with your own little community of helping people as well.
Yep.
You know, this is something that's it's a passion for you, right?
Yeah.
Like, training in fitness, working in fitness is a passion. And so you transitioned from becoming a member to an intern to now a paid part-time employee. And hopefully we could pry you away from the school system one of these days and you could be a full-time employee.
Yay! That would be awesome.
But today we wanted to bring you on because if you listen to our last episode, Kelly and I went into depth about sugar. Right? And today you and Kelly are going to start a little experiment, correct?
Yes.
Well, you guys are very happy about
it. I know,
right? Excited. Now, just to give you a quick background, we wanted to dedicate a lot of shows in this month of October to sugar awareness because, you know, candy is everywhere right now and it's being passed out to kids and probably kept around the house and very easily accessible to most people at this time of year. And that's when bad habits could start, especially, or can accelerate if they're already there. But also, especially leading to the holidays, something like we've talked about before in the past is not waiting to the holidays.
Yep.
A lot of people kind of give up this time of year, right? Candy's everywhere. Next month's Thanksgiving, and then we're into the holiday season. They're like,
it's a slippery slope. You're right. And it starts with Halloween.
It starts with Halloween.
Damn,
so,
Halloween.
Yep. So most people, instead of, you know, fighting the temptation, give into it and just kind of throw these next 3 months away. But just generally speaking, overall, this is an important topic to talk about because there's a lot of people who suffer from certain illnesses like diabetes that that could potentially be helped. And there's a lot of kids, talking about this time of year, a lot of kids who are pre-diabetic and are going to be pre-diabetic. This will probably just, this time of year will accelerate that. So we wanted to, like I said, dedicate a lot of October towards quote unquote sugar awareness. And this is our, I guess, our second installment because of that series. So
I would like to put it down a shameless plug that at the end of the month, as we have for the past 3 years, we are collecting candy. So anybody listening, if you have kids or you have leftover candy from Halloween, we collect it here and pass it out to veterans later in the year.
That's
so
nice.
It is nice because you should get out of your house.
Yeah.
Right? What happens when it sits there? You're going to eat it. You know you're going to eat that.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it takes a month or two, you're going to finish that bag.
It's tempting and it talks to you. So,
absolutely.
You know.
Well, yeah. You walk past it how many times, right?
Yep.
And, you know, usually it's not hidden away somewhere, right?
Yep.
Especially if you got it because you're kids or whatever. So, you know, getting rid of it is, unless it ends up in my closet like it did that one time because we had so much candy that we couldn't get rid of all of it.
This room
it was filled.
It was boxes upon boxes.
Yeah. Floor to ceiling.
Because
the school collected too.
Everybody
really did a really good job marketing.
Yeah.
And I was getting flooded
with calls.
The
only time we've ever done good marketing was collecting candy. Why can't we get that many people in a workout?
I know, right?
But this room was full. It was full. And it was like, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that also goes to show how many people want to get rid of it. Like,
correct.
So we're just really helping everybody out. We're going to help you get rid of it. And we use it for a good cause later in the year. So
absolutely.
Yeah, which is good.
All right. So let's talk about how this all started. And Deb, it all started with you and this special little book here.
Yes.
The Glucose Revolution.
Yes. So blood sugar stabilization and understanding metabolic diseases, disorders is sort of like something that, you know, you had mentioned passion, and it's mm-hmm. something that I'm an educator and I like to educate myself on lots of topics. And this book came across my desk and a friend of mine recommended it to me, and I was like, okay, I have to read it. And I started reading it and I was like, if you are human and you eat food, you need to read this book because you really, it gives you, she's a scientist, so she's not, you know, a doctor, but she's using scientific research in order to help educate people, which I think is super important because when you have the data and the research to back it up, it totally makes sense. So a lot of what we're going to talk about today and some of the experiments that we're going to do, she's done the research to back it up, mm-hmm. which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's also, and yeah, she might not be a doctor, but that's where doctors get their information
exactly.
from, right?
They
get
them scientists. From scientists. So. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So this book is a definite page turner. And
yeah,
I don't say that about a lot of books, but this, it's so good I got it bound.
I love
a wire
that.
Bound. We'll talk about that later.
Okay. We're going
anyway,
to, because that's awesome. I saw that. I was like, oh, I'm a little jealous.
I'm going to tell you about it. This is my newfound love. But anyway, Glucose Revolution. And we follow her on Instagram
yep.
as the Glucose Goddess.
Glucose Goddess.
So she puts a lot of her findings from her book you can find on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
So she's constantly populating with more information.
Yep.
So in this book, you know, she talks about the glucose curve, right?
Correct.
And that you eat sugar, your glucose levels spike, and then you come down and you have a crash and you feel tired, lethargic, brings on acne.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Gain weight, obviously.
Yeah, you gain weight. And I think
headaches.
And eventually it can, because, you know, many people who are not aware, like people think that glucose just has to deal with diabetics. And it's not. It's really for everybody. Every single one of us can have a glucose spike if we eat too many carbohydrates, because carbohydrates automatically turn into glucose within our body.
Right.
And our body only has so many storage places for glucose. So I love the analogy that she gives of she
the
talks
sink?
About how the sink one, but yes. also the grandfather one, who wants to become a train engineer.
Yes.
And they, you know, bring him coal and he shovels the coal into the fire and the train's moving along. And all of a sudden he keeps getting knocks on the door and he keeps getting more and more and more and more coal. And finally, by the end of the day, he quits because he can't use up all of the coal. And that's a lot of times what our body feels like, because we're putting so many carbohydrates into it that it doesn't know where to store
things. There's nowhere else
anymore.
To go.
Exactly. So we want out of storage.
Yep. And then what happens? We get a little chunky.
Yeah.
And it gets stored as fat.
Yeah.
The other analogy that I love, and I constantly tell my family this, is think about your body's being a sink, right? So this is one of her hacks, is eating food in a certain order,
mm-hmm.
which is exciting. That's one of yours, Steph.
Yep.
But think of your body as like a sink, right? And what you eat first on an empty stomach is going to go down first. And then so you're filling your body with certain things in a certain order. If you start off filling your body with sugar, we're going to start a roller coaster at the beginning of the day versus filling it first with proteins and fibers and things like that. Plus coating your small intestine of taking out the good things first versus the bad things.
Correct.
So when you eat, think about yourself as being a kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm.
And the digestive tract going down the pipe there.
Yeah.
So she has come up with she has 10 hacks.
Yep.
And Deb and I are going to wear these continuous glucose monitors. I have it right here, if
mm-hmm.
you hear a little noise. And it goes into your arm right here.
Yep.
And what's this thing? I think that's the actual piece of
it.
This is the applicator.
Yeah.
This
is
the actual
piece
of it.
Yeah.
And so it goes behind your arm right here in your
mm-hmm.
tricep. And you wear it for 2 weeks. And they've come so far with these monitors that you can actually scan it on your phone. So
mm-hmm.
you can beep. You put it right up there and it's going to scan your glucose levels.
Cool.
You could do it every minute of every day if you want to. What she does in her book, she does everything with a 2-hour window.
Yeah.
So she'd eat it. 2 hours later, she would test. And I'm starting to follow a lot of people on Instagram who this is what they talk about, what they eat, and they're just constantly showing you their glucose levels.
Yep.
And it's amazing to see the spikes or the non-spikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a really, really, really great tool to use to see how certain foods are affecting you
mm-hmm.
and your glucose levels.
Yep.
So Deb and I are going to wear these little guys for 2 weeks, and we have the 10 hacks and we've broken them up. Deb's going to take 5. I'm going to take 5.
Yep.
And we're going to either do exactly what she did or do our own. Like, I'm dying to do one on jelly beans. Like, I want to see what happens when I eat like 10 jelly beans.
You have to think of like your favorite foods and what are the ones that you really want to test, because those are the things that you eat on a regular basis or as a treat every so often too.
Right. I want to see what jelly beans do. I mean, that's like a
That's just like
that's sugar. That's sugar. That is straight sugar.
Yeah, it is.
So we have our glucose monitors.
Yep.
Now let's go through her 10 hacks, and we're going to – you talk about the ones you're going to do, and I'm going to talk about the ones I'm going to do. So sure. Her first hack is eating food in order.
Yep.
So that's you, Deb.
Yep. So basically going back to the analogy of the kitchen sink, like Kelly said, if you eat something that – is a carbohydrate. So let's say, for example, I have a sweet potato and I eat that as part of my meal, and I'm eating that first. Because it's carbs, my body is going to take that, it's going to pull out all of the sugars, and that's going to cause a glucose spike. And actually, sweet potatoes can cause a pretty significant spike. And there's actually an interesting hack that she doesn't have in here, but if you heat the sweet potato and then cool it down and then eat it after you've cooled it, it has a different different reaction, which is kind of cool. And so if you eat food in a certain order where you eat fiber, so let's say I'll have a spinach salad with some cucumbers first and then protein and fat and then have the sweet potato, it won't actually create as much of a spike as it would if I were to put that into my kitchen sink first.
Yeah, and she has these examples in her book of the levels and how it, by changing the order, how it keeps a spike nice and level, which is so exciting, which is why these hacks are going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
So you're going to have certain foods one day.
Correct.
And you're going to beep scan it, and then you're going to have the same certain foods the next day.
Yep.
Doing the hack by eating them in order, and then you're going to beep see. So that's where we're going to actually see where the difference is.
Yeah.
Cool. We're going to prove her hacks.
I know, which is kind of cool. Very cool.
So that's an exciting one. Okay, second one is yours too, Deb. Add a green starter.
Yeah. So it's funny because in the book she's like, no, this is not the same as the first hack. Because basically if I'm adding a green starter, I'm having a green salad, or it doesn't even have to be green. It just needs to be vegetables. If I'm eating vegetables because I'm having lots of fiber, then I can have something afterwards. Let's even say I want to enjoy a slice of pizza. Mm-hmm. If I have the slice of pizza without the green starter, it might cause a spike. If I have the green starter before I have the slice of pizza, we'll see what that ends up, what that ends up doing. But it's basically because there's fiber within your system and that's filtering through first, it's sort of creating like a mesh lining on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so there's not as much glucose and fructose going into your, being absorbed into your bloodstream. And so it just goes out. Yeah. So then you're not getting the spike that you would if you didn't have the fiber in there also.
It's coating your intestines.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Isn't that exciting? Cool.
Mike's like,
so exciting.
He's like, you too.
Kelly and I are like geeking out, and he's like, I just let you go at it.
Right? I don't want to interrupt anything. You guys are on a roll here.
But since I started reading this book, I have had a love for sugar snap peas. Mm-hmm. They're just so fun to eat.
Yeah.
So I eat them pretty much before, like if I'm consciously thinking about what's going on, I will eat them before I eat anything. But she had a story about, remember the story about Giuseppe? Like he would always go out to eat with his work friends, and they would pick on him for always eating a salad, and he was trying to eat healthy. So he started to eat like a bowl of broccoli before he went out all the time, and it helped him.
Yep. Mm.
A, he wasn't getting made fun of for eating healthy, but it was actually helping him by starting with a bowl of broccoli before he went out with his work friends.
Now, is this Giuseppe a real person?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so she actually gives examples of people who are part of the Glucose Goddess community. And
who have
she
done
uses,
all this. Yeah,
who have done some of the hacks and tried some things for her, which
Giuseppe's
I think is really
mentioned
cool.
A couple times.
He
I
has mentioned
he's a favorite.
Couple. I know, right? Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe Giuseppe should go to therapy and get some self-confidence and tell his friends, I'm eating healthy to better myself.
Exactly.
Instead of trying to hide it.
Yep.
I don't know.
Hide it in his bowl of broccoli.
Right.
Excuse me, may I have a bowl of broccoli, garçon?
Right.
All right. So my number three is stop counting calories. So not all calories are created equal, right? Like you could have a donut and you could have a yogurt, which are both 150 calories. So it goes back to the quality of your calories, not necessarily the quantity.
And the molecules too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and what's going to make you feel fuller longer?
Yeah.
Yogurt
mm-hmm.
or a donut?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends on the yogurt. The content of the yogurt, because there might be enough sugar in there that's the same as like a donut.
Yeah,
well,
for a lot of these yogurts,
right?
Like these flip top yogurt things, where it's like, like all like candy that you're putting in.
Yeah,
but anyway, yes, I know your point.
Yes, thank you. but I'm excited because I get to eat a donut. So I will be going to Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm going to get a chocolate sprinkled donut. That's the I'm done.
And you're going to be like, I'm doing this for science.
This is all for science.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the quality of your calories count, and that's what she's saying. You know, you don't have to count calories. You don't. But it's just a matter of, like we've said to the blue in the face, it's the quality of what you eat.
Yeah, most certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then the fourth one is mine as well. It's flatten the breakfast curve. So
this is a good one.
This is a really good one because everybody, the majority of people eat cereal.
Yes. Right?
And cereal is a huge component. Yeah. Of hiding all the sugars and things in there. And, you know, I think I said something to Mike about this. Like, but as a mom, right, your kids wake up, you just instinctively want to feed them breakfast, right? Even when they're little kids. And what do you get them to eat? Everything sugary. Syrup. Yeah. You know, it's always like, how many kids eat eggs, right?
But I know.
They'll eat the French toast. Or eat the cereal.
Yep.
Or, so she, you know, she's kind of gotten me in the mindset of getting away from sweets for breakfast.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an interesting one there. And she did a study, which was just absolutely amazing. I got to read it to you. Okay. So she did a study in Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
20 pre-diabetic men and women ate a bowl of cornflakes for breakfast. Okay. So, quote, normal people go in, they eat cornflakes for breakfast.
Yep.
And their glucose level spiked to that of a diabetic.
Yep.
That's how high it went off one bowl of cornflakes in the morning. So 16 of 20 people had a glucose spike above 140 milligrams, which is pre-diabetic levels. And then two of them were over 200, which is a range of a type 1 diabetic.
But when you think about it, like our standard breakfast in, you know, our country is a lot of us eat sweet things. I mean, if you look at, if you go down the cereal aisle or if you go into the baked goods aisle, like muffins, bagels, donuts, cereal. Yeah. I mean, it's like that's everything that people are looking for. And unfortunately, a lot of those things are processed also.
Oh,
and food companies hide things behind healthy labels. Like they'll say, you know, there's only 150 calories per serving. But if you look at the box, there's, you know, a whole bunch of garbage in it. So that's the other thing.
Or no added sugar or all natural or all these labels that are put on that pretend to make it seem like it's healthy. So when you're walking down the aisle, you're like, oh, I'll grab this one because it's healthier. Cause it has this, you know, this saying on it or whatever.
I have to go back to the cereal thing.
Because this is awesome. It does. It gets better.
It gets better with the Honey Nut Cheerios. So they did a study on Honey Nut Cheerios. So 2.7 billion boxes of Honey Nut Cheerios are sold a year.
Yep.
Okay, so they're saying 60 million Americans eat Honey Nut Cheerios a day. Okay,
a lot.
And that they have three times as much sugar as the cornflakes of the as the Stanford study.
Yeah.
So that's like crazy. Mm-hmm. So you're starting your day off like this with a crash.
Right.
You are starting your day off with a crash, like dragging yourself out, getting your whole body's inflamed from all this sugar.
Right.
Like it's just. It's you're already taxing your body. At what time is it? 7, 8 a.m.?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And then once you've spiked and crashed, then for the rest of the day, your body is trying to catch up and it's trying to figure out where you are, which is why you have these, people are like, well, why do I have cravings at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Well, the reason you have cravings, you know, sugar begets sugar, as you guys talked about last week.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, I just want to also make clear that it's the continuous cycle of that, right? It's not that one-time spike. Like, you're obviously, I'm talking to Deb and Kelly, both of you are obviously very conscious about the amount of sugar you consume. When you go out and have that donut for this experiment, or when you eat your sweet potatoes first, I like her deal better, but
I know, right?
Yes, you might see that spike in the monitor, right? If that's a one-off every now and then, you know, even probably like once a week or whatever, you have your quote unquote cheat meal, it's probably not going to make a big difference in your health. But if you're doing it every single morning, you're starting off with that spike. And then by, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, you're starting to crash. By 3 o'clock, you're having a snack and you're doing that day in and day out.
Yep.
That's where that issue comes up, right? Just like anything else, you are what your habits are. So, you know, it's not that. So we don't, in a singular, event, glucose is just glucose, right? It's just a spike is just a spike in a singular event. You know, that doesn't mean it's good or bad or just it happens. But if you do it day in and day out consistently over and over again, that's where the problems happen. That's where like you said, the standard American breakfast comes into play big time, right?
Yep.
When I was in Hawaii years ago, we went to like the breakfast buffet. And Hawaii is like in the middle of the ocean, but it's like in the middle of the United States and Japan. So they get a lot of people coming from Japan to vacation there. And it's interesting to watch during the breakfast buffet because they all eat salad,
fish. Mm-hmm. Like, they're eating foods, and
at they the have time, that at the buffet?
Oh, yeah. Like, and it was, like, two lines. Like, the Americans went one way, and the Japanese went the other. But, mm-hmm. like, it was looking at that, I'm like, oh, God. Like, I can't even think about eating that for breakfast. But every single one of them, and obviously I'm, you know, generalizing mm-hmm. and whatever. But every single one of them were lean, were looked healthy, right? Yep. There weren't many obese Japanese people in line at the buffet, you know, for cornflakes or cereal. They're all, you know, kind of fit, or at least somewhat looking fit, in line for fish and mm-hmm. salad for breakfast. So, yeah. Just part of their culture to start their day off very different than the way we start day off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And like you say, you know, when it's repeated over and over and over again, that's when we have a buildup of free radicals. That's when we get damage to our cells. That's when we have, you know, inflammation within our body that becomes chronic inflammation, and that's when we start to develop right. diseases, and it becomes an issue.
Right. So it's not that one-off. So, like, correct. You know, people can take that and villainize things, you know, especially nutrition and exercise. Like, you know, you could take something and look at it in a different way and villainize, like, never eat sugar, never, like,
yeah,
most people are going to be okay.
No, that's not
if
real.
You're healthy,
yeah,
and you have a spike, you're going to be okay more than likely. But if you're not conscious of it day in and day out through all your meals, that's when the problem is.
Yep.
So. Yeah, but also cravings. Like, cravings are so strong.
They're
have
real.
Have you ever, you notice that, like, when you start thinking about that cookie, like, chances are you're probably going to eat it.
Yeah, they're real.
So, like, I'll do a lot to get rid of the craving. Like, my kid's snacks, I keep them downstairs because if they're in my face, it's going to happen.
Yep.
So that craving draw is real.
It's real.
So yeah. I'll do anything I can not to mm-hmm. feel that way.
Yeah. Well, because especially, too, if you've had a blood sugar drop, like, that craving comes on because your body needs glucose in order to function. Your brain needs glucose in order to function. So your brain is basically screaming at you, like, feed me. So sometimes the reason we have mm-hmm. such strong cravings is because it really is our body talking to us rather than, you know, sometimes we can, obviously, if we have a bad day or something like that, you know, mm-hmm. that might
be emotional.
Well, yeah, those are two different things.
Yeah, and the craving, I mean, I don't know if it touches on that. I haven't read that book, but I am interested in reading it now. So, if you could get me a spiral bound copy of it,
I know you're gonna be jealous of
I'll put it next to my toilet and I'll add to my list. but I forgot where I was even freaking going with that now.
What
they were talking about, if she talks about the response, like the craving response, and actually. And I don't know how true it is, but I've read that it's like almost as equal to like drugs, like mm-hmm, heroin response. Like, your body gets dependent and needs it, and you get those cravings, that dependency on it.
Well, people who, you know, eat a lot of sugar, your body basically, it's the same receptors in your brain that mm-hmm. unfortunately cocaine go into.
Cocaine,
so
right.
we can, you know, it's as addictive. It has addictive properties. And when you have, you know, when you have a lot of it, you need more of it because mm-hmm. your body's mm-hmm. trying to fill up that need.
So hack number 5, replace it with cocaine.
Okay, I think that's
right. There you go.
Replace your
definitely
food with cocaine.
Deb just said.
Yes.
Yeah, replace your food with cocaine. So if you're at least addicted to something, you will lose weight instead of gain weight.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, moving on to number 5, which is mine as well. Sugar is sugar. So again, Mike, like we talked about on our last podcast, mm-hmm. You know, honey, brown sugar, agave, it's all sugar.
It's all sugar.
Plant sugar. It all comes from the same, you know, comes from plants.
Right.
So, you know, don't think that maple syrup is better for you than regular syrup. Sugar is sugar.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be an interesting one to do because, like monk fruit, she says the best sweeteners to use are monk fruit and stevia.
That's mm-hmm. in a lot of protein powders now.
Monk fruit.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's in this one.
Yeah. Right.
You keep talking.
Now, what's the one? Sucralose?
Sucralose.
That's the bad guy.
That's the bad guy.
And that's in a lot of stuff.
It is. Mm-hmm. And that's why you really have to, like you guys talked about, mm-hmm. like you really have to look at the labels because sugar is hidden in so many things
right.
mm-hmm. under so many different terms.
Well, that, yes. But how many, like, I know I grew up thinking that honey was sugar was better than sugar. Like, in my mind,
almost
it was like,
definitely.
Oh, honey's healthier than white table sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Frozen yogurt better than ice cream.
Yeah.
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Same
well, we also grew up in, you know, fat-free butter was better than regular fat butter.
Right. But it is true. I mean, the response your body has is
the same.
Right?
It's
now,
the same.
Are there probably healthier benefits if you get, like, a local honey with, like, what are allergens or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. There's benefits on that. So, might
you're
be quote
find
unquote
that, yes,
healthier, yeah. but it's not going to make any difference when it comes to your blood sugar and, right. You know, if that's what you're focusing on, like you guys are.
Yeah. Right.
And my last, I'm sorry, I have a little group of four here.
No, that's okay.
My last.
6, 7, 8, 9?
No, I'm on 6 right now.
Oh, I thought you said a group of 4.
Well, it was. Sorry. It was 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Sorry.
Okay, moving on. Number 6, dessert over a sweet snack. Yeah. So if you're feeling like you want to eat something, you know, like say you wanted to eat a candy bar, let's just use that as an example. Eating that candy bar midday as a snack, as you had talked about before, Deb, is going to give you a higher spike than, say, having your meal, eating it in the right order, and then having the candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
So
you've got stuff in your sink. Exactly. You've got stuff in your sink.
In your sink, exactly.
So it's like clogged.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll drain more slowly.
Yeah, well, right. Mm-hmm. And it's all the good stuff, right? The fiber, the protein, the fat, and then your carbs.
And it's going to drain through all that, so.
Mm-hmm. And let me just ask you this.
Yeah.
You sit down at the table, you have mashed potatoes, you have green beans, and you have steak.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you this as your 10-year-old self. How are you going to eat that plate?
As a 10-year-old, I'm throwing it on the ground and asking for pizza.
Gonna say I'm not really sure my 10-year-old self eats steak, but probably go for the mashed potatoes
first,
right? And
right.
ask for
definitely.
You know, fat-free butter on it because that's the era I grew up in.
Yeah, well, yeah, so, mashed potatoes and then maybe some steak and then like
and then
a bite or two of the
green beans,
yeah.
Right. So that's your younger self. Now, if you guys were to go out to dinner and this plate is put in front of you, and not saying not with the book, but how would you eat now?
Steak first.
You would eat steak first, mm-hmm. protein first.
Mm-hmm. And then probably the veggies and then the...
And then the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, that's how I would eat.
Yeah, I'd probably go between the steak and the green beans. I'm not a big mashed potato person. I know, crazy.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I would maybe pick at those.
Okay. All right, yeah. But, I mean, just as an adult and being health conscious, I try and eat my vegetables first because I'm really not a fan of vegetables unless somebody else cooks them.
Okay.
So I'll eat that first. And then it's just amazing how you, by the time you get to those potatoes,
you don't really want them.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
But as my 10-year-old self, I'd eat the mashed potatoes first.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's just the best thing on the plate.
Mm-hmm. So actually, let me change my answer. As a 10-year-old self, I would take the greens. We had frozen peas a lot as a kid.
Ugh.
So I would take the frozen peas and mix them in with the mashed potatoes. So I'd eat them both at the same time.
That's
so
smart.
I wonder if that would make a difference in my glucose levels. But I don't know.
It would probably help. It would probably help.
Yeah. So like we would have either like meat and potatoes, and then my mom would make me have some like frozen veggies because my dad wouldn't eat it. meat and potatoes or like macaroni because it was easy. Or eggs. Those are our three go-tos every single night. Probably for like 21 years of my life.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Do you eat peas now?
Yeah. I don't make them at home.
Ugh.
But I like them if they're on my plate. I can't tell you the last time I had a pea.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Ms. Deb, you are number 7. This is a fun one. Vinegar first.
Yes. This is where I'm going to get my donut.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, what kind of donut?
Boston cream.
Ooh,
oh, okay.
Good choice.
Nice. Yeah.
All right.
Although I wish I could actually go to Boston and get like their actual Boston cream. Yeah, from one of the bakeries down in the North End. That would be awesome.
Anybody
but
listening, feel free to ship some down.
Yeah.
If you're in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do for this hack is I'm going to drink some apple cider vinegar, not by itself, in water.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the vinegar is sort of helping your body to not produce one of the enzymes that breaks down carbs. And so you get more of the sink effect than if you were to not have the apple cider vinegar and just have the donut.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I have to say, when that whole apple cider vinegar craze started, I did. For a week, I tried to take shots. And every time I took a shot, and for like 2 hours, I felt like I was going to puke.
Right.
Like, I was like, this is nuts. But I did try that hack, and by diluting it in water, it wasn't bad.
No, it tastes like
8 ounces of
water. It
tastes
like a little funky apple cider.
It's still there, but it's doable. And that, again, once again, it helps you get that first glass of water down, too.
And it can't be the gummies, because I know that some people will be like, oh, I can just have the apple cider gummies. No, you can't. It has to be, but it has to be, like, good quality, like the with the mother or whatever
with
it is.
The mother.
Yeah, with the mother.
Mm-hmm.
okay, number 2, this is another one of yours, move after you eat.
Number 2. Okay.
Did I say 2?
Yeah. Number 8. 7.
It's an eight.
He was thinking about moving. I don't know.
Sorry. So I'll make sure we're keeping our listeners on track. We're not at number two.
We're not because it was our second one.
Back to again. The beginning.
Start back over. We have to listen to us all over again.
Yeah.
Lucky made it this far. Go ahead.
So our body stores glucose in our muscles, and it also stores glucose in our liver, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are two of our, or it stores it in fat cells if those two places are taken up. But if we move after we eat, and it has to be within 70 minutes after you eat. If you move after you eat, and you could just sit there and do squats if you want to, or do push-ups, it's basically your body, anytime your muscle contracts, it burns glucose. And so if you're burning glucose at the same time that you're sort of, you know, absorbing. Right after you had, exactly, you're kind of going to get like that one-for-one exchange, which I think is pretty cool. So I'm going to see how that works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also think about like after you eat, like I used to eat till I was full and I hated that feeling of being full. So I learned how to stop eating to that feeling. But it feels so good to go for a walk after you eat.
It does.
It just does. You just whether I'm full or feeling full or not, it just moves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where we live, Deb and I are neighbors.
Yeah.
We have two great hills.
Yes.
So you go down, across,
and
go, up.
And then up. Yeah. And then go across, down, and across, up. And up. Yep.
Yeah. So cool. It's really to, or even to just get on a treadmill just for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? How are you going to, have you thought about your hack? Like how you're going
to
do it?
I actually think I'm going to try it a couple different ways. I'm going to try it. Cause one of the things she says is doing squats. So I'm going to just sit there and do a couple squats after
which by the way, listeners is very easy to do, right? After you eat, you're not, she said like 10, 20 squats.
Right. I'm just, you know, just.
Just get moving, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I think the other time I'll go for a walk and see if it makes any difference if it's, you know, a longer duration or anything like that.
Well, that's something that we've always said is, I mean, for the aspect of building exercise into your life is creating that habit of walking during or after a meal because, you know, you're going to be eating. So build that into a habit. So at least you're getting out and walking all the time. But this is an added benefit of that. And actually, Vicky follows this woman on Instagram who's like this, I guess, Italian woman or something. She's, you know, younger in her 30s or whatever, but she's like a cook on there. Like she like, I don't know. But she talks about why Italians who we pass all the time aren't fat. And one reason is, you know, the type of pasta that they're eating. It's, you know, more natural the way they get
real
it's
pasta.
Not, it's not processed. Another thing about it is that they the way they cook it, you know, they don't cook it. So they cook it al dente. So it's really, it's kind of like a little chewier, I guess. It's not like.
Wait, does that mean it's cooked longer or less?
Less.
Less. So and it's kind of harder.
It's kind of harder. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that actually has a lesser response, a glucose response than if you overcook it, just like, I mean, if you eat foods in the wrong order, et cetera. But also they have a walking culture. So the part of their culture is when they're done sitting down with their family and eating a meal, they all get up and they walk the block. They walk down, they have conversation. It's part of their ritual. And that is that glucose clearing after you're done eating, that exercise. And it doesn't, like you said, doesn't have to be anything intense or crazy, but now I don't know. I picture a fat Italian guy, you know, in America. Like I picture like a short, but you know, they're if you look at their you know, the culture statistics, they're actually a lot lower obesity rate than us. And you know, you would say that their food is fattening, right? Pizza and pasta and
yeah, but I bet over in Italy they all look great,
right?
I don't want to say it's the Italian Americans, but like,
well, right,
our
that's what
diet,
I mean. Like that's what when we think of Italian, we think of like short, fat, bald, and like a Sopranos guy. Yeah. But like look at Alessio, right? Alessio is Italian. Like that's, you know, that's the culture, a lot of culture. When one of my at-home clients went over there for business for like a week, he actually came back weighing less. And I was like, shit, am I getting like fired now? Because like he went away on vacation, went to Italy. But he's like, I ate whatever I wanted. It was all like pasta and stuff, but it was all, you could tell that it was healthy. Like the what it was made of was real food, and the portions were a little smaller, and they're always out walking after they eat. So, you know, go along with hack 8, 9, whatever this is. This could be, you know, multifaceted for you, not only great for your health and exercise, but also for, you know, helping, you know, keep glucose levels down.
Have you been to Italy?
No, not yet.
Do you think you can go over there and buy a bottle of like ragu or a jar of marinara sauce?
You know what?
I don't know.
Like, or everything there is made to sell because it's. Do you think they have ragu over there?
I don't think they have ragu, but they have. I mean, Europeans have a higher. there's a greater number of ingredients that they can't put in things. So they ban over 2,000 substances. Mm-hmm. We don't. So I think part of it has to do with the ingredients that are also going into the foods. Mm-hmm. So I think if you were to buy like a jarred, you know, marinara mm-hmm. sauce, that it would probably have better ingredients.
Chances are it's going to be better.
Yeah, then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they have their...
their version of
their right. ghetto
yeah,
version.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I would guess.
Would you be shamed? Would you be shamed? Like if you walked in a shop, right, buying Ragu yeah. versus Mama Caterina's,
yeah,
you know, who's fresh made right there.
Yep.
All right, sorry, off topic.
That would be funny.
But, okay, move after you eat. Number nine, Michael.
Number nine.
If snacking, go savory.
Yes.
So kind of goes back to the candy bar thing, but she's talking about... pairing apple slices with nut butter, celery and peanut butter, which is probably mm-hmm. the only time I'll ever eat celery is if it's smeared in peanut butter.
Yep.
Greek yogurt and nut butter.
What about with wings? Hot wings.
No, it just sits there. It's a garnish.
What? Celery's the best part. Afterwards, you put hot sauce and the blue cheese and we always get extra celery.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I never eat celery with my wings, Deb.
No.
It's a garnish.
It is. I'm not a big celery fan though either. Like with I used to have it with when my parents forced me to eat celery. I was like, can I have peanut butter with it?
Yeah, way? right. I'll eat it then. I love to juice it, but to eat a stick of celery, I mean, I get well.
It's the strings.
You're eating it. Yeah, it's just, there's just nothing good about it.
No.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
All right. Well, yeah, but by the time
there's a lot good with it. There's hot sauce and blue cheese on it.
Oh, see, there you go.
Or peanut butter with little raisins.
Right? Oh, ants on a log.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
What?
Ants on a log.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Take the celery and you put peanut butter on it and then you put a couple raisins on it.
But the fact that you both know this is called, is this what your parents told you guys? Like, where is this ants on a log thing?
I don't know.
I've never heard of that.
I think my mom would say, do you want me to make you ants on a log? And I knew exactly what
she
was
saying.
I wouldn't have remembered the name unless you said it like that.
Wow.
But yeah, I just remember having it at daycare when I was a kid.
Oh.
I had finally memory of it. I don't know why.
You were in daycare and they
like
could have peanut butter?
Summer camp, I think.
They could have peanut butter? I thought that was banned by the time you were in preschool.
No, I was ahead of the curve. I was right before before this world became soft.
All right, moving on to number 10.
Sorry, not to offend any people who are allergic to peanut butter.
Number 10. Deb, this is you. Put some clothes on your carbs.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, one of the things that's important for this, especially, and it kind of goes back to some of the other hacks, that when you just have a carb by itself, that's going to cause a glucose spike.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can think about what I used to have for breakfast, which would have been considered healthy, oatmeal and blueberries, but it's all carbs. But if I add now egg whites or if I add protein powder to it, I'm dressing my carbs.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, because I'm having other things with it, I'm adding some protein powder, which is the protein. I'm adding some nut butter, which is fat. And so I'm adding in other macronutrients in order to balance it out.
Yeah. Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was number 10?
That was number 10.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we have a very fun 2 weeks coming up.
Yeah.
And then we're going to come right back here
mm-hmm.
and talk about And let's like talk about how we feel
okay.
on top of what the number, like if it's a plus 30, plus 10, or like whatever the number spike is, let's kind of make sure we write that down too.
Okay. Are you going to keep it a journal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. So
yeah,
we'll do how we feel, what the spike is,
yep.
if there is one.
Okay. And what we did each day, you okay. know, the good versus, I don't want to say the good versus the bad, but
no,
the,
but
you know,
doing it one
you know
versus,
what I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The way cool. we traditionally do it
well,
versus the hack.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
I know. See,
our
I know.
A little experiment.
Fun.
I am.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And if anybody out there, I highly recommend The Glucose Revolution and following, I don't know, Jesse Inshipri.
Okay. Well,
you say yeah. her last name.
It's French.
That's just what I said. Anyway, this is her book, The Glucose Revolution. And
maybe we could have her on one day.
Well, we're gonna let her know. We're gonna tag her in our post in our thing.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
I know, because I think she really appreciates hearing from people. And if she's actually mm-hmm. hearing us actually do
right
her
this,
thing, it's
maybe
so
she'll,
fun.
Yeah, maybe she'll
more importantly, we could get her last name right.
Yeah,
yes,
well, that would be the
exactly.
first question.
Right.
How do you pronounce
yeah.
her last name?
And you can also follow her on Instagram at The Glucose Goddess. And that's a great way to start if you're interested in anything. She makes this so easy and so fun. I don't want to say she dumbs it down, but she really does
mm-hmm.
with her practical stories, practical yeah. application. It's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Deb. Deb gave me this book.
Yeah, you're
it's
welcome.
Awesome.
And it's like been the nicest present I've ever gotten. Aw, so thank you, Deb.
And then she made it even better by the spiral bound.
I know. That's.
I'm going to have to.
You've been holding off all these years here.
I'm going to have to get her to do that tomorrow.
Well, yeah, now you can like, Like, how many cookbooks would you like this?
All of them.
All of them?
Because that would be so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll do a commercial for that later.
So instead of the glucose revolution, it's the cookbook revolution.
It's changing the binding of, on your book
of every
revolution.
Book. Yep, mm-hmm. there you go. I like that.
All right. Well, before this goes way off track, we'll end it there. But this is going to be fun. This is going to be cool. I'm excited to see the results of all the different experiments you're doing, because you could hear about it all you want. You could read studies and stuff online and whatnot. But until you try things yourself, you don't really understand how it really affects you.
Yes.
It will affect you.
And it'll affect us differently, too, because everybody's different.
Right.
Yes.
And I also just want to make clear, we are not in any way associated with this book or this doctor. We're not selling anything. This is really just some anecdotal advice and something that the two of you are obviously, like, we cover passion about, but this is what real world fitness and health is. It's trying things, it's reading books, this is what it's all about. It's not getting stuck into a certain specific mindset or ideology, or being stuck in whatever. So this is gonna be cool, because this is some real life stuff here.
So we can't wait to get back to you guys.
So we can't wait to get back to you. That's it, right? We're done?
We're done.
All right, that's done. Please share the show, please like, subscribe. Let your friends know, family know, and until next time, just be well.